Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like Mohicans and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all seeking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC to hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got the rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS one moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop fronting.
Do you think
they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable. Running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs. Cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me, bullshit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close. Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame. But we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn so proudly we hailed at the twilight land gleaming?
man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Every voice and sing, till it in heaven, ring with the harmony. Oh, let our rejoice and rise high. Turning the tide, loud as the Lord's sea.
On an amazing vacation. I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Risin, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Risin offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Risin. Visit us online at phoenixrisin.com.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221. Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
What's going on, everybody? Jimmy's Underground Radio Network is on the air. Happy New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and may you all be entered in the Book of Life. I kind of threw today's show up in the air because I didn't know what to do. So somebody sent the information on this documentary that Questlove did on the Move program. And the Move deal was a bunch of people that got shot, murdered, and killed by the police. He talked about how it affected. So I went into it, looked at it, and I thought it'd be good to do a show on it. So here is our documentary, or you know, a little historical fact on a tragedy that happened in 1985. And was it 85 or 78? Yeah, I have 78. We're gonna do this for the Move. Bonnie had 85, Peace had 78. So we're gonna deal with 78 to 85. Confrontation, history of the Move. First, to start off with who they are and what they're all about. Just let them step in and start it. And thank you for listening.
If the city does try to come in here and get you out, what are you going to do?
Well, do what's necessary, man.
What is that?
Well, first, understand why he's coming in here.
What are you going to do?
All right. Well, do what's necessary.
What is that?
The strategy of John Africa.
What is that?
Our only defense.
What is that?
The strategy of John Africa.
You aren't telling me anything. You're just saying the strategy of
John. Hey, I wouldn't tell my strategy to you.
do you expect them to come in?
Confrontation in Philadelphia between MOVE and the RISO administration forces was frozen in photographs and splashed across the press of the nation. Pictured was surrendering MOVE member Delbert Africa being beat and kicked by four policemen. Moments earlier, Officer James Ramp was shot dead. Fourth largest in the country, Philadelphia is a city whose black population has tripled since the Second World War. In the wake of the civil unrest of the 60s, then police commissioner Frank Rizzo ran for mayor on a law and order platform and won. The year Rizzo took office in 1972 was the same year that the MOVE organization, comprised of the family Africa, began to mobilize. MOVE demonstrated against police stations, school board officials, and public figures such as Jane Fonda, Jesse Jackson, and a variety of others who would, in their words, mislead the people with misinformation, offering only the problem and not a solution.
Completely disrupted a meeting, and Jane Fonda and Tom Hayden walked out, and I walked out. And most of us walked out.
The media has called MOVE a back-to-nature group of radicals, the human species at its lowest form, and finally wrote, the word MOVE means nothing at all. In response to the press, Delbert Africa wrote, MOVE means what it says, MOVE, get active, change, revolution.
Listen to what John Africa writes! This is a quote from him. The MOVE organization is a powerful family of revolutionaries. Fixed in principle. Cohesion. Study as the foundation of a massive tree. Long live John Africa.
MOVE says John Africa is our founder and goes by no other name. The media has identified John Africa as Vincent Leapart, a third-grade dropout and handyman who lived in an area of Philadelphia known as Powhatan Village.
That man didn't even complete elementary school. He can neither read nor write.
He's about education.
But his wisdom surpasses any man's walk on the face of this earth. He's got all answers for everything. Every question you could ask, he got the answer for it. This is what John Africa gave us. And we tell anybody, if you say you got it, you better be right.
Spring of 1975, some of MOVE's Powhatan Village neighbors complained to the city of threats, the smell of garbage and rats. City officials announced plans to coordinate a health and housing inspection. MOVE refused to let them in. Year after year, MOVE's encounter with the police ended in injuries and arrest. By 1975, MOVE members had been arrested hundreds of times, with bail amounting close to $1 million. They reacted by strengthening their religious discipline and securing their homes from intrusion. Court, they represented each other. In jail, they went on hunger strikes. On each side, the charges mounted. MOVE accused the city of systematic persecution and violence, resulting in two stillbirths and the death of an infant crushed in a police attack. The city charged MOVE with everything short of larceny and murder, climaxing with a plot to obtain nuclear weapons. On May 20th, 1977, MOVE brandished weapons from their Powhatan Village headquarters platform, saying no longer will we be beaten or intimidated by the police without a like response.
It's because we know the psychological effect that it has on them cops. Right? Them cops was thinking about their individual lives. That's why we had guns. We knew that Rizzo had to come to us if you wanted to make arrests. So the guns was used to narrow down the arrest.
From that day on, constant police surveillance, which lasted a year, surrounded the MOVE compound, costing the city millions of dollars. MOVE sparked a significant amount of community support by speaking out on police abuse. Many demonstrations were held as hundreds of people rallied to MOVE's defense. In March of the following year, Rizzo announced that if MOVE did not leave their headquarters, the city would erect a blockade so tight even a fly wouldn't be able to get in. March 16, 1978, a blockade went up involving 1,000 police officers. That night, Rizzo launched a campaign urging armed whites to fight blacks for better jobs, decent housing, and a better life. The day before, he announced that he would drop his bid for a third term as mayor. During the next 55 days, residents of the barricaded area carried passbooks and were subject to body checks. Police marksmen sat in windows and behind sandbags across the street. No food or water was permitted to enter the MOVE compound. On May 9th, MOVE surrendered its weapons and allowed the city to search their home. In the form of a court order, the city gave MOVE 90 days to move. August 2nd, 1978, the 90 days were up and MOVE had not left their headquarters.
Ain't no deadline as far as the teachings of John Africa go. This is our house. We're going to always be here. We're going to never recognize no deadline set by no sadistic goon like Rizzo.
MOVE, its supporters, the media and police waited and prepared themselves for the confrontation as a judge issued warrants against 21 MOVE members for violating the original court order.
Petition and accompanying affidavit, and upon mention of Sheldon A. Albert, city solicitor, attorney for the plaintiff petitioner, a rule is hereby granted upon Janet Holloway, Consuela Dotson, Janine Africa, Charles Sims, Edward Goodman.
Every time you civilize maniac murder,
Merrill Austin, Alberta Wicker, Sharon Penn, Gail, Debbie Sims, Dennis Sims, Frank James, Philip Smith, Gilbert Orr, Carlos Perez, Rhonda Ward, Debbie Zelberson, Michael Davis, Raymond Chester, Robert Moses, Sue Leon, Conrad Hampton.
Excuse the murder, we ain't gonna give it to you. Come on with it. You ain't gotta come up here with
us. Occupying or residing the premises, 307-309 North 33rd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to show cause why attachments with a contempt of court.
Stan, you see
us right here.
You see the court right here, man. Why don't we go to court to give some kind of sanction to this so-called legal murder?
Is it gonna stop him from killing us? We've been going to court for 6 years, and Rizzo's still talking about bringing his bullshit to our door, talking about bringing his Gestapo troops in our home.
Talking about law and order, you've been talking about murder at the same time. Talking about he going to concern for kids while steadily arming them SWAT troops, them fat, filthy cops up there with machine guns and all other kind of scalp-dealing merchandise, and talking about he concerned about somebody. This man is talking about killing somebody over a so-called civil contempt of court. Since when has death been the penalty for contempt of court?
We saying, you know, don't look at movies crazy. Look at your boss is crazy. We got somebody that's talking about. Murdering somebody, why look at the person that's being murdered?
Rizzo is saying the MOVE organization has the right to die. We don't have the right to live. We're telling Rizzo, if any time that you got a system that has theft under its feet, that has rape under its feet, that's turning a whole fucking globe up and down, then you got a problem. And what the MOVE organization is saying is we're talking about eliminating that problem. And any time that you allow Rizzo or the system to tell you that we can't put out information given to us by John Africa to clear up the situation, then he ain't talking about being raped. Because what MOVE is saying, anytime you got a peaceful people like this organization and you have Rizzo talking about we ain't healthy, we got health hazards in here, that's a goddamn lie, because we had people in this organization during the confrontation from May 20th that had babies in this organization, healthy babies, strong babies, and Rizzo's trying to tell the people that we sick, that we unhealthy. He's trying to win the opinion of the people so he can come in here and kill us. And people be saying, yeah, that's right, MOVE needed to be killed because they was diseased. MOVE needed to be killed because they ain't take a bath, which is a goddamn lie, because it don't matter how you look, how you dress, because if you write and you talk about being clean, your appearance don't matter. Because you saying you got Rizzo that wears Brook Brothers suit, all kinds of nice bonds, nice patent leather suit. I'm saying he's the nastiest motherfucker on the face of this earth. You ain't got to have on no clean clothes to be clean. What MOVE is saying is any time that you will allow a man to sit there and lie to you, embezzle from you, because he's all dressed up and all fashionable, and you're making a big mistake. I'm saying people will look at us because our hair is uncombed and because we dress like this, they'll turn the fuck off. They don't want to live next to us, but they'll turn the fuck around and live right next to a motherfucker like Rizzo.
Got five children and move.
and three grandchildren.
How does it feel to have your children inside there and the police outside?
It's the suspense of it, the anticipation. You know, not knowing what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen. You know what I mean? That's that's the worst part of it, that waiting.
Why do you think the city wants him out of here? What do you think the real reasons for why do you think Rizzo is coming down this hard? When the,
Drexel, money, profit, and aside from that, it's a personal vendetta. It's a personal vendetta. All right.
It's in the city's best interest to really, still come out of this thing, is what is the best interest of all the people in Philadelphia. And that's why I said earlier, I think that the remarks of Ed Rendell are very unfortunate.
You better get out, or if they're going to resist, better do it through nonviolence.
What if they do resist?
If they resist, there's going to be some violence. And whether, if there's bloodshed, we can't ignore that. We can't let anybody thumb their nose at the law.
I'm going to talk about the role he played during the negotiation. I kept quiet for a long time, and that really made me sick, the fact that I knew things and I wasn't saying it. I mean, I think the idea of this notion of playing hard, playing tough, a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's having his problems with the police. And I think that, you have to clearly understand to try to sacrifice this family because you're having problems with the police or try to use this as the basis for trying to make your own political campaign for mayor and all is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous ploy.
You said we know Rizzo want to see us dead, all right, but I'm saying, only reason why he want to do that is to stick his chest out. All right, we saying, right now, because there ain't no white members in here, he's going to try to take advantage of them. So that's the only reason why he's talking about coming in here. And that's the only reason why Rendell is pushing this issue, because there ain't no white members in here. All right, they don't care about nobody black. Man, you know that.
Like 5 years, okay? Move has been opposed in the city, and they have never been quiet about the way they really feel about the system. That made them the enemy to Rizzo.
I was coming up with a monitoring system we developed over the month for 3 times a day. So after 2 months or less than 2 months, I stopped because there wasn't a need for it. They were happy, healthy, moving, viable. Whatever kind of a nuisance there was seemed to have been abated.
The neighbors were saying that they recognized differences when they were. The community was enjoying, solid peace.
Move are very warm people, peaceful people. They're not violent like people say. They're like this Jerry Goldberg who said that Move has threatened him several times, caused a man across the street to have a heart attack. Move simply give people information, and if you can't deal with it, that is on you.
We were together before Move. Been together, but since Move, we've had a real marriage. Because when he was out in the lifestyle, he was acting crazy.
Well, what was his lifestyle before he was a Move member?
He was into everything. He used to steal cars. He was into Islam. Just hopping back from one thing and another.
How many people are here now? And one of the things I try hard to do is make sure I don't know, so in case that's something that they don't want people to know, I can't say that I know and don't.
Right now, you got a court injunction about the house?
Make sure that house stays intact. Make sure that nobody, it's not a matter of being granted, it's a matter of filing it, to prevent anybody from touching one brick.
It has been filed.
I think I'm going my way now, if y'all let me go.
You all were in negotiation with some people in North Philadelphia to buy some houses, 5 to be exact. Is there any validity to that?
Possible y'all get some houses, yeah.
But it don't make no difference.
If we had 1 million acres, we still ain't going nowhere.
Right.
We would let them push us out of. If you had another house other than your house, would you let them come to your house and put you out the one you got now?
Rizzo ain't paying no attention to this house until he start hearing the information of John F. Until he start realizing what we living for. The house is not the issue. Rizzo wants to get rid of Move.
But if it has something to do with this house, ask him to explain why Janine after his baby was killed in 76 March 28th. Was the house an issue then? Was a house an issue when I was beating the detention center? Was a house an issue when Lee St. Africa's baby was murdered, kicked out of our stomach by 55th and Pine? Was it a so-called agreement when Rhonda was beat by sheriffs in City Hall and she had a miscarriage? Did it have anything to do with the house? No. All right, but this is the kind of stuff that Rizzo don't want put out there to the people. What he want put out there is Move people is disease, Move people is irrational. They out there for themselves, they're idiots, and they broke agreement.
But what about when blacks
here, right here on 309 North 33rd, a majority black organization is being persecuted, being starved, being beaten, being killed off, being constantly threatened by Rizzo and the police, and not a goddamn word is spoken out about it by the news media, by Rizzo, by Carter, by Andrew Young. Now, what is that for just blatant prejudice? Because they don't see blacks as worthy of speaking out on that situation. They see it as trash. They see it as dirt. You know, if you're Jewish, if you're Soviet, if you're Irish, that's a fashionable thing to speak out on. Right? But if you're black, you know, you're just dirt. The hell with that. You know, why should we speak out on that? You might as well be exterminated. You ain't no goddamn good. And this is the very thing that we are constantly confronting and demonstrating against. The very goddamn thing that the news media never picks up on and never prints.
Ever putting out the fact when them cops were sitting over there calling our women nasty nigga bitches, when they were throwing rocks and glasses, that the whole neighborhood saw them throwing over here. That didn't hit the paper. But Move came out here, you're talking about Move yelled invective at the cops. Move yelled profanity at the cops. For years, right. Y'all been exploiting, putting it out, talking about Move looking for publicity. We ain't called none of you out here. Your editors and your publishers sent you out here. We saying if you don't want Move to have no publicity, don't write no stories. We don't agree with none of that.
TV stations and major newspapers,
prejudice, they've never printed the truth. You know what I mean? Because they are for the system. They are in the system. And they are in the same system that Move is opposed to. And for Move to, you know, express the principle, anybody that would hear that principle can recognize that it is against them. They can recognize that it is a threat. And if a person is feels threatened by something, then they try to remove themselves from the threat or try to get rid of the threat. And it would help them to destroy Move along with Rizzo destroying them, because then they could keep their job and keep on writing those blood gut stories, you know, making a living off of people being slaughtered, raped. Yeah, system.
Are you personally willing to give up your life in your belief of the teachings of John Africa?
I'm saying I'm willing to take that commitment all the way. If Rizzo coming here, I'm willing to fight Rizzo off to the death, which is he'll be murdering me. Saying I would rather die than have to live under the stranglehold of Rizzo, live under the stagnated insanity of his administration. Saying to live under the teachings of John Africa and do what's right is to be free, even if it means dying. If I have to die to bring Rizzo to his knees and get rid of him, I'll do it.
What briefly was the reason for letting the white members and the Puerto Rican member leave?
We know Rizzo's a racist, and the only thing we letting him do is put his racism out there, put his credentials out there. We're going to let him put his face all over the world with the headlines, baby killer, racist, murderer. That's what we let him do.
That brings up another point. I mean, why don't, since you let the white people leave, why don't you let the babies leave too?
I'm saying that we have our babies here with us because that's where they belong. When Sue left, Sue didn't leave her baby here. Then our babies belong with the mothers. Just like they was here during the whole confrontation before, they're going to stay here now. Saying if he wants to kill Move members, especially black Move members, then the only way my baby will be safe is to get rid of Rizzo, not get rid of my baby. You get rid of the mentality that's going to harm the baby, not send your child away, because Rizzo will go all over the city to find Move members and kill them. You know what I'm saying? There's no way that I can send my child unless I get rid of that sickness, get rid of that maniac.
I've been collecting material by taping and interviewing Move members. I started with that because I felt that Move hasn't been adequately represented in the press. I wasn't satisfied with the definitive versions as given by Kitty Caparella, Jim Quinn, and Drummer over the years. And I investigated it. I talked with both sides, and I talked with every name that came up regarding it, except for the city, which is more difficult to contact, especially right now.
You've tried to contact the city?
Yes, it's not easy, and it'll take a little time. I'm sure after things cool over, they'll be willing to discuss it. But right now, because things are changing hour by hour, it's impossible to get through to them.
And how have you investigated Move itself?
I've been through every floor, through front and backyards, and checked out every activity that I could, that they would permit me to.
Could you tell us about some of the activities and what the house does look like inside?
It's bare inside, and the living quarters, which are the upper floors, are neat, but worn and unadorned. There's a few superfluous things. It's just functional, just like their clothes are functional. But it's civilized. There's a lot of dogs in there. There's 48 last count, although now
they're inside the house.
48 dogs that they run every day. And they keep in top physical shape by working out hours every day. Boxing, pulling up, push-ups, calisthenics.
There's a lot of pregnant women. What about the pregnant women?
Well, they don't use birth control, so the women who are pregnant box. The women who are pregnant box. However, they don't, of course, box to the chest.
I do push-ups, pull-ups, run when I can. All of it.
So everybody partakes in physical activities. I've seen little children, 5 years old, doing many push-ups. So they're impressive physically. They're in top physical condition. They eat raw foods. They eat raw eggs, yams, sweet white potato, garlic, onion. So they watch their diet, and they eat freely throughout the day. They have their own culture. And it's determined by John Africa, who's a living human being who is incognito, and who is a fugitive, I understand. But it's an organization that goes back 5 years, and it has a complicated legal history in which there are charges by the police and countercharges by MOVE. Hundreds of legal cases involved.
There's a MOVE organization who's crazy, so he can kill everybody in this house and justify it by using public opinion. Everybody out there to understand that we will not back down for Rizzo. That's right. If Rizzo want to come in here and create a mass murder, a massacre, he can come on with it. The only way he want to get outside of this house is to kill everybody in this house. Ain't nowhere in the world he's going to get away with it. And as long as people see for what it is, as long as people go ahead and see through that smoke screen, ain't nowhere in the world he can keep on pushing that so-called idea.
The police will be in there to drag them out by the backs of their necks. There will be a confrontation this time. There will be no barricade. I don't know. It's up to them whether no barricade, Mike. They're going to be taken by force if they resist. No question about that. Children or not.
When they come in, though, and they say they're going to go arrest you, they start taking you outside. What are you doing that
kid? It was necessary, man.
Which means what?
The strategy of John Africa.
Which means what?
What's right.
Which means what?
The strategy of John Africa.
Okay. Do you cite the strategy of John Africa, or do you actually do something?
The strategy of John Africa is a strategy that is right. A strategy that kept every last one of us alive last year during this whole conversation.
But they didn't come in to get you last year.
They did, so. You say, what do you call a blockade? What do you call a blockade where they cut off our food and water? What do you call 100 cops marching down the street to our very gate with a little truck to pull down our fence? If that ain't coming in to get us, what do you call it? Do you have that around your house? What do you think they've been doing for 7 years, man, playing chess with us, man?
The quote from Rizzo yesterday was, we will drag them out by the scruffs of their necks.
He's been dragging us the fuck out for 7 years, man. You understand that, man? What the fuck you think he did March 28th and 76? They dragged me the fuck out in front of my door, man, and beat me in my goddamn head, and I had aches in my goddamn back for 2 fucking years.
They dragged her baby
on the goddamn curb and stomped it,
I'm
man.
I'm saying, you questioning us. You want us to put it out there. So if we say, yeah, we're going to fight a cop, you put it all over the place, that move is going to result in violence.
Yeah, you want him to say what you want him to say.
When Rizzo said he was going to use force, did you question him to pinpoint him to say what kind of force he was going to use?
Yes, he said we will drag them out by the scruffs of their necks. He answered that question.
Did you ask him what it? What if they resist the scruff of the neck? Did you make him go down in detail to say, well, yeah, if they resist, I'ma kill him? Did you make him put out his intentions? No. You don't never question Rizzo. And Rizzo is questionable. That man ain't told the truth since he got in office. That man ain't been agreeable since he got the name of mayor. We saying it's about time that y'all start putting the truth. Don't question the person that's telling the truth. Question the person that's telling the lie. We saying we ain't talking about hurting nobody's religion. We ain't talking about killing off nobody's religion. Rizzo is talking about religion persecution. He's talking about putting us in a gas oven. He's talking about killing our babies, genocide like they did the Indians, like they did the Jews. We're saying it's about time that the news media start questioning Rizzo's record. Say he's the one using an excuse to slaughter off a whole black family, not move.
Put that on TV.
All right.
If the law says you must be out of this house, then you must be out of this house. If the law says you cannot cross on a red light, you cannot cross on a red light. And you have and you have every opportunity to appeal if you lose.
And the law says you had to move. How the hell you gonna spend your money, your lifetime working buying a home, and the court gonna get up and say you move?
I'm telling you that there are eviction notices served on people every day, and
now
people have to follow them.
That warrant, the police coming in and shooting them.
That's
enough to
move.
If you're buying your bricks. And you
have, I don't own the grandma.
Now, wait a second. If you own a home and you have broken the law,
y'all won't get up and put me out any kind of way you want it?
If you buy a home and you have broken the law.
There's no broken law. Some people religious.
Judge says he broke the law.
You'll tell lies like me or you.
Okay. If either side said, I am happy with the job you're doing of representing this story. I feel I have been doing a good job. What I'm telling you is if either side felt that we were doing a superior job, then in fact we probably would not be doing a superior job. If Rizzo said, I'm happy with the job you're doing, we'd probably be slanting it in Rizzo's direction. If Move said, hey, you're doing a great job reporting, then we would probably be slanting it in Move's direction. Both sides are down on us.
What are you trying to accomplish?
Trying to tell the truth. That's it. That's all we ever try to do.
Ever since the Move organization gained notoriety, the group's purpose, its causes, have been a puzzlement to many, including the community, the administration, and even reporters. A closer look at who, what, and why.
I don't think you've really ever put on the media what Move really stands for.
I don't think it's important what Move really stands for.
This is one view of the Move now that you haven't seen before, and from this angle, it looks more like the Back to Nature group is more of a Back to the Slums group. One resident here told me he can't believe that the city spent $2 million on this little project and it still isn't over. Another resident said the city can't keep backing into a corner forever. I'm Rob Jennings, Channel 6 Action News in Powell Village.
All I would have to do to be able to use that legitimately in a legitimate news story is to say one of the people around here who is on the roof with me took a look over there and said, quote, the Back to Nature group looks more like a Back to the Slums group from this angle. I could use that comment legitimately in a news story then.
Take two. Watching, waiting. News people, local residents, just curious. Soon, city policemen will start serving arrest warrants on the people in this house. It's only a matter of time. Move didn't move, and thus violated its agreement with the city reached last May. This isn't the only house occupied by Move members in the Powell and Village area, but for 4 years, neighbors say they've had to put up with this one, the sight and the smell, and that they'll be glad when it's gone.
The six people that I interviewed all said they were against the Move organization staying here. Now, if you were suggesting that I go out and dig up somebody just to get somebody to say that they love Move, then I'm not going there. Right across the street from Move. Right here. These people live in that building right there, which is less than 50 yards from the house. Okay? Bring one out.
They have a right to live anywhere they want.
They can stay there as long as they want to. They're not bothering us.
Well,
my parents said
there's no need for nothing.
They didn't do nothing.
Just lead them people alone.
They didn't do nothing to the police.
Where they want to live.
They ain't do nothing to the city. They ain't do nothing to Rizzo.
We got prejudice. I don't see what people think. People are people regardless of their color, their skin, their religion, their race, or nothing. They're still people. They can bleed. They can die. They can catch diseases. We can all go through the same situations, maybe with a different neighborhood or anything, but it's unnecessary for all of it. I really think it's unnecessary. Putting these people through all this hassle for nothing. And it all is going to boil down to a bunch of people getting hurt and killed over nothing. Over nothing that doesn't really make any sense.
Look them complexion of the long-standing stalemate changed radically when hundreds of helmeted police showed up at 3 a.m. to begin preparation for an all-out assault. At 3:30, 33rd Street was closed to traffic. Supporters in the area scrambled to public telephones to spread the word. Shortly before 4, MOVE members denounced over their public address system the police mobilization. Within the hour, police cleared the street of MOVE supporters, then towed off all cars for 2 blocks. Next, equipment. Police vans, an armored personnel carrier, and special stakeout squads equipped with flak jackets, automatic weapons, tear gas, and thousands of rounds of ammunition.
On your left.
Cops were positioned on the ground, on rooftops, and in nearby apartment buildings.
This place is close to 5.
No, there is not. This place is the next apartment.
With Police Commissioner Joseph O'Neill personally directing the massive police demonstration, a bullhorn announcement came at 6 a.m. directing MOVE to surrender immediately. MOVE ignored it. At 6:10 a.m., Mayor Rizzo finally, after 15 months of confrontation, used the force he'd threatened all along. In came a bulldozer, and a slow demolition began. The stockade around the compound, which for months kept police from the doorstep, was soon rubble. MOVE's PA system broadcast the cries of babies inside, heard over the rumble of heavy equipment as rats and dogs ran from the house.
Well, under the circumstances, Jim, I think it's safe to say that the rats used more common sense than the people inside the house. The rats ran when the fence came down. And as I perceived it while watching this drama unfold, MOVE gave its dogs more of a chance than it gave their own children. The dogs, at least, were left to the Pennsylvania SPCA.
Will you identify yourself? On
Belita Johnson.
Were you down here this morning?
I've been down here last night. I had to go on an activity. I came back to the park this morning. When I came back, they was tearing down the fences around headquarters. At that point, a dog got trapped outside. Movement went out and pulled the dog out, and they was like laughing, you know.
6:30. A huge cherry picker is used as a battering ram to punch out the wooden slats protecting the windows. At 6:55, a squad of police enters the house. Little is heard. At 7 o'clock, another squad goes in. All MOVE members go to the basement.
And then they had said they couldn't find no MOVE members inside the house.
At 7:20, the bulldozer is used again to clear a basement window, where a Catholic Monsignor tries to talk MOVE members into surrender. At 8:10, screaming is heard from the house.
I was standing on the porch, 3207 Pearl Street. And I could hear, it's only about 20 feet from MOVE headquarters. I could hear voices. I could distinguish who was calling. You know, I could distinguish the kids crying. You know, hear very, very clearly calling out for help.
And 2 minutes later, hoses are blasted at the house to flood MOVE members out of the basement.
So finally, they broke in the cellar window and stopped putting water in his hand, bring the kids out.
12 minutes after 8, firemen are then using water. The MOVE members were gutted with firearms in the basement. Use guns on the side of the MOVE headquarters.
Then at 8:15, several shots ring out, followed by a barrage of police gunfire. The press, who stood by in a bullpen, all hit the ground as officers, themselves moving back, cried out to reporters, "You'd better get out of here."
Made myself very, very tiny. Crawled into a crack in the sidewalk. You know, it's amazing the things you can do when that happens. Because in 13 years in this business and covering a lot of cops, you know, I've never actually seen a shootout. You hear about them, you read about them, but they happen so seldom that you're never ever there when they actually happen. Right where all these police officers are standing now was the press bullpen. We were all there, and the photographers all had a good angle to shoot down to the corner of the MOVE house.
Police officer shot on the corner. Two policemen are hit on the side of Pearl Street. Two policemen on the side of Pearl Street have been hit by fire. policeman being helped in the personnel carrier. Second policeman being helped in the personnel carrier is hit by fire from Move.
And the tear gas filled up Pearl Street. I mean, you couldn't see in front of you. There was as much tear gas on Pearl Street, so we couldn't see too good. Gail was still in the house behind looking for people.
The cops were running around like a bunch of fucking maniacs.
Yeah,
you can see they was just running here and there. They didn't know what the hell to do. They were so disorganized. They looked like a bunch of fools.
Now, we ain't talking about picking up no gun. We ain't talking about, like, getting no gun and killing no few cops, all right? Because, you know, if we want to do that, we could have did that last time.
Members crawled out. One of them, at least, still had the strength to yell obscenities at police.
I'm saying I'm willing to take that commitment all the way. If Rizzo coming here, I'm willing to fight Rizzo off to the death, which is he'll be murdering me. Saying I would rather die than have to live under the stranglehold of Rizzo, live under the stagnated insanity of his administration.
The child from Move just crawled out through the basement window.
Actually, 8:45, the firemen are flooding the building with water again.
Men, women, and naked children crawl out basement windows.
You were with the fellow Women Move members when you did come to jail. What condition were they in, and what did they have to say?
They was hurt, but they were strong. Okay, one of the sisters, she came in and they had her chained from the foot.
Janet
Africa. They had her braced from the foot on up to her waist. They had her like in a straight jacket and had a rope tied behind her, leading her like a dog.
There's a male in the back window here.
At one point, these moments of violence. As a black man goes behind a police van, there is a flash of white above his head. The next scene captured by the camera is this. A man is on the ground. Police surround him. Our news camera is located in a third-floor apartment diagonally across the street from Move headquarters. The armored truck is the same one into which police had just dragged two of their injured brother officers. We don't know what sparked the violence here. Was the black man resisting arrest, or were some police officers' tempers spilling over as they dragged their wounded from the line of fire?
Police immediately wrestled him to the ground, took the gun away, and dragged him off to a waiting van. But during the entire incident, never once did I see the police do anything but react to Move's actions.
Male's got a gun. Still see car beams inside the basement. The automatic weapon that Move just tossed out.
9:35, police gassing the basement.
Time approximately 9:58 in the morning. Commissioner O'Neill talking to Move members. They're still in the basement.
Tensions remained high for an hour. Police were uncertain if the Move house was indeed empty. The operation was basically over at 10 a.m. The toll, one dead, at least 12 wounded. District Attorney Ed Rendell, questioned by News 10's Terry Ruggles, said that if the killer bullet came from the Move house, everyone in it could face a capital charge.
After all the people who were in the house, if that is the case, there's no question. Charge of murder.
They would all be accomplices then, is it?
Oh, absolutely.
The violence had abated. The focus was now switched to the hospitals where the dead and wounded were taken.
Yeah, I heard about some people arrested right here. About it.
Yeah, the cops jumped on people, started beating them in the head.
Yeah, why? Right. What was happening?
Tensions also turn to the city, to this city that for the moment may be troubled. But as in the past, I think we can expect Philadelphia not only to mend its own wounds, but also become stronger when they're healed. This is that kind of city.
Anybody that listens to what they hear on the radio and think that that's the total truth is insane, because the press cannot. If the press was the truth about what's happening out here, out, they'd be out of business quick. They cannot be truthful. They have to be biased and prejudiced with their information and edit all the true facts to say a little or nothing, because that's what they're saying, little or nothing.
What are you moving the people back for? You don't know. Who gave the orders for you to move the people across the street?
All they tell you is that this shit started because Move wouldn't let the city come inspect the house that there's no reason for them to inspect it. Who was they inspecting? They ain't had no electric. They ain't had no gas. Who was they inspecting? How them people was living, that ain't none of their motherfucking business. How they live ain't nobody's business. If they don't never comb their hair, it ain't nobody's business. If they don't never take a bath, it ain't nobody's business. They wasn't fucking with nobody when they was down there.
All these cops up here do not belong in our neighborhood.
These who want these white racist pigs to go home. Back to their own Northeast families where they belong at. Go up there and beat heads and trample on people's children with their horses. They don't want this shit down here. We tired. Come in the neighborhood and tell the people to go home. They already home. They're standing on their doorsteps and the cops is running them home. How much home further can they go? They can't go back to Africa. That is home.
I'll tell you what, I seen all them cops come running across just grabbing anybody, and they took somebody down there and beat the shit out of them.
For no reason?
For no reason, they just came running across.
We were running.
I'm standing right there, you know, we can only go in safe place. We ran in the house for safety. Right. We ran in the house for safety. They followed off. I don't know how many followed behind us, just coming at us with knives. They're going to leave it. And that's the way they acted when they went in the Move compound. They're crazy.
People were clapping their hands. I was clapping my hands. That's all that was going on. And we didn't cross the barricade section. We didn't even cross the street. And there were maybe 40 people out here, and there were 80 cops. I was about the only one who didn't get hit, probably because I'm white. They went into that person's house.
I thought what y'all made, neither.
This is your house.
I live here.
What happened just now? You tell me?
I was upstairs in my bedroom, trying to change my clothes. Mm-hmm. And here come all these people on the top. They're chasing me there with the knife. They're hitting them on the shoulders and stuff. About three up there already hurt. My two kids' boxes was in here.
And many go fit in there. That's how many was in there.
How many was in there?
Five. Ten. Wow.
About 15 or something.
See, this is left.
I don't know how hurt they are. I know one girl, she got hold her leg. And the other one, she hold her shoulder. But they hit her with the nightstick all on her shoulder.
See, they over there smiling and that there.
You see how they smiling?
You see how they smiling? See, this is an attack on the
community?
I see, you know, it's being attacked here, like, on the black community. I feel that, you know, they mad at what went down, and they're not satisfied or just, you know, getting the move. They want, like, all the people, like, not only this community, but the whole community, like, in the black community. It's the hatred that they have and the mentality for, you know, black people. And, like, we have to, you know, like, stand up, you know, for our rights. Here's a lady here that lives in this house, you know, like, can't even actually, you know, like, have, you know, like, safety in her own house. Because, like, we went in the car, go to the phone, and then the person say, like, who are you going to call? Ain't nobody to call. The cops is the one that's doing it to. Because you can't call nobody, so they don't leave us to one attorney to defend ourselves. No attorney but to defend ourselves. We can't call nobody else but ourselves.
You know this is a racial thing, don't you?
I know this is a racial thing.
But there's not one black cop over there.
No, it's not. Maybe like one or two detectives over there, black detectives. But I need last one of them over there.
They all up down the damn field.
Horses first.
They step for me right in here, they right back here, no bruises. But they got me here, they got me here. And they hit me upside my head with the damn blackjack in my back of my head.
What were you doing?
I wasn't doing nothing but sitting down here drinking a can of beer. But I got news for you. I'ma tell you now, they ain't gotta do nothing. I called down there to the station and everything, and called down there and tried to press charge. They ain't got to do nothing. I will take care of my damn stuff, and I mean this shit. Every minute, I got a firebomb, all of them.
I'm going to send that to you.
That's right. That's
right. What's
your name? Daryl, what was happening just before they hit you?
I was upstairs sleeping, then I heard all this noise. Then I ran to wake up. Then the cop was swinging a nightstick and hit me in my eye.
He threw the nightstick at you?
No.
Swinging. Where were you at that time?
On top of the steps.
You were on top of the steps. The cop came into the house to do it.
Yeah, it came to
the house. Yeah. It wasn't even
fighting. You ain't even safe in your own damn house. And then how about you? They don't want you to have no guns to protect yourself. You need some protection. Now, all this shit happened. Who can you call to protect
you? Right.
Who can you call? Nobody.
This is a sad day for Philadelphia. It's even more sad. The family of policeman James Ram. The sad part of it is that this incident is not yet over. There will still be misguided voices in the community seeking clemency for these criminals. Who want to live a lifestyle that defies the laws of our society.
Here in the mountain, the shots came from the new headquarters directed at the police. None whatsoever. Don't need molesting. He got all the information from my witnesses who were there, including Monsignor Devlin, who is the Cardinal's chief on human relations in this city. There is no question that who fired the first shot, the nation of shooting.
I can't really tell. I'm not a policeman. I'm not an expert in those fields. I can say this, that I had just left the house, had walked across the street toward the truck, which was padded with sandbags, when I heard the first shot. My back was to the building. I couldn't tell where that shot came from.
Richard Maloney of KYW. The Commonwealth was aware that Richard Maloney had information that the first shot was fired from across the street from MOVE Cop Out, and it was fired by someone other than a MOVE person, fired in the direction of the MOVE Cop Out.
It was a suspicion that some shots had come from elsewhere. One reporter claims to have looked up and seen the muzzle of a weapon sticking out the window.
The MOVE house?
No, this house here in the southwest corner of 33rd and Baring.
Because I was standing immediately across the street, because I know where the shot came from, because I know where the man was standing. That's how come I know.
Walt Hunter from WCAU, by the way, swears that a shot was fired going in this direction.
Do you know who fired the first shot? It wasn't MOVE, it came from across the street. I heard that it was the people in the MOVE haters that fucked up and shot a cop.
16 witnesses for the defense to testify that there was someone across the street who was shouting obscenities at the MOVE compound and firing.
Can you repeat for us again how the fatality occurred?
From what we can determine, and remember that investigations take considerable time, you have to go to the scene, reconstruct to the degree that you can. Remember that the people that we want to reconstruct this with, one of them is dead, and the others are incapable of being talked to.
So do you believe in just a symbolic gesture, tearing the house down at this point, the very day of the shootout?
I think that at least at this point is what it is, but I think behind it is the question we've got to ask is why. You know, why is that house being torn down, and why is there such great effort put to it around a property eviction to want to, in fact, create this kind of climate and then ultimately tear the house down? There must be more to it than just that property.
Beg your pardon, sir? So they can't get back in again.
But the city has indicated for some time now that they wanted to tear the property down within minutes or hours after the MOVE members left, which would certainly be a denial of one of their basic fundamental rights.
A psychotic group of revolutionaries that I know of have been dealt with myself, but only in a civilized community, only in a democracy could they get away with what they're getting away with. If they were in the countries that they represent, like some of the others that were here, the Stokely Carmichaels, the Quavers, that all ran to Cuba, Red China, Africa, you name it. But they were very anxious to get back here because they couldn't do what they do in this country, in the countries whose doctrine they represent. And that's what's wrong with this country. We're backing off too much.
But at every step of the way, including the final act today, the police used commendable restraint, and it was done for many reasons, most of all because of the children who are present today. The police probably would have been legally within their rights to have, subsequent to the shooting of Officer Ramp, stormed the house and killed all of the 12 people in that basement.
After the policemen were shot, do you know of any incidents where some officers may have become a little overzealous in arresting some of the MOVE members?
I know of one instance where one of the MOVE members came out the window with a cartridge case in one hand, a clip, and with a knife in the other, where he was hit on the top of the head with a steel helmet and was taken into custody. If that's what you're referring to, Bill.
And I can...
That's overzealous, so be it.
There had been much concern on the part of many people that the police would make a violent assault on the MOVE members. As it turned out, the police acted with precision and restraint.
Okay. Commissioner, what's the situation in Powhatan now? There were several confrontations between the local people and the police.
The police are in control in Powhatan at the present time, and if there are any additional confrontations, I can assure you that the police will take care of it. We'll not brook any nonsense. Anybody that takes us on out in Powhatan or anywhere else in this city is going to be crushed.
Police brutality.
Let me tell you something. You know, this business of you report, the mayor's kind to you. The mayor's very kind to you, and I am usually very quiet. But I've had it up to here with individual reporters who are constantly our adversaries. Constantly. And I think when you go out and you talk to these people and stir them up and try to find out who did what, where, and all that, that you're being totally unfair to the police of this community and to the people of this community.
What's the excuse this time? You know what?
Innocent people.
What excuse they gonna keep on using? You know, because people don't like this, right? They all the while they say in the news media that the people in Poundville agreed with what was going down. That was a lie.
And you accept at face value absolute lies that are told to you. You don't even get off your asses and walk down to look where these people claim they were. So one of you people ought to start examining your consciences.
What do you do when you print it? You put it out. It's not reviewed by trained lawyers. It's not taken by trained investigators. And you put it out in people who unfortunately had confidence in the media. They're learning, though, not to have. They believe what you read, what you write, what you say. And it's got to stop. And one day, and I hope it's in my career, that you're going to have to be held responsible and accountable for what you do.
Mayor, can you outline what the charges are against the movement?
All 12 were charged with one count of murder, conspiracy, weapons violation, and 8 counts involving the other 8 officers and firing through the commissioner out on to you. 8 counts of aggravated assault, simple assault, attempted murder, weapons violation, and conspiracy. 9 counts of
be the end of the move.
The only way we're going to end them when
the ones that are responsible get that death penalty back and put them in the electric chair and I'll pull the switch. That's when I'm sure they'll not be around. You know, and it's amazing, you can look at the reporters. You know, this is the amazing thing. I've been around a long time, and I dealt with newspaper reporters in my long career, media people, who never let their personal feelings control their pen. And regardless of what their personal philosophy was, they reported facts or tried. Look at the reporters that asked the questions, and look at them, and they make this a personal philosophy. It's their philosophy. You take, like, the police commissioner was involved in an investigation, and he asked two reporters right in front of their superiors, is this true or not? Were you personally involved in this? Do you feel personally? What was their answer, Joseph?
Yes.
They didn't care about facts. And you can look at the reporters that asked the question. I asked the people of this city to make their own deduction.
Mayor, is there any specific news story about MOVE that you object to? Is there any specifically about MOVE?
I object to many, many things, Robert.
MOVE, we like to go on and on.
Is it correct that only one movement will shot Charles Africa?
Every week in your newspaper, they have paper, headline, policemen that did this, did that, murdered. Not one of them's been convicted. You convict them in your paper. That's what's wrong with this city. You're destroying it. The people that you represent, every week you did it. This is the reason we have disrespect for authority. And one day the people of this city are going to realize what your paper has done to this town.
I don't recall an anti-MOVE editorialist.
That's the problem in this city. Your newspaper.
Right after Officer Ramp was shot, Delbert Africa was beaten as police took him into custody.
No idea.
This week, only 2 days ago, three of the officers charged in the beating surrendered to assault charges. That sparked a protest by 500 fellow officers pointing out they also wear blue.
I wear blue,
take
me blue.
And the head of the police union gave his thoughts on those who beat Delbert Africa.
What they should have done is shot that goddamn bum, and then there would have been no trouble today. They should have killed him.
There is a new vegetable garden blooming here just a few feet from where Officer Ramp died. The wounds are about healed now here in Powelton Village, but there are a few scars that remain.
And law and trust! All things to the air of life! The power to control!
Charges the systematic abuse of citizens, especially members of minority groups, dates back to the period when Frank Rizzo was police commissioner.
The Justice Department investigation began 8 months ago after this incident in Philadelphia, a police raid last August on the headquarters of MOVE. Then, it's charged, Philadelphia police beat up one or more of the black radicals they had taken captive.
He said it's going to be each man for himself. He's saying it ain't just going to stop with Rizzo. It's going to saying it's going to be investigating cops, special cops, judges, DAs, all across the country, the president, every last one of them.
Is it possible that when a policeman on the beat reads Rizzo said to the Italians, break their heads, he says, hey, I can break their head.
Break their heads is right. They try to break yours, you break theirs first.
You're dealing with criminals, with barbarians. You're safer in the jungle. This police department in Philadelphia could invade Cuba and win. What I'm saying, Tom Snyder, is that we are now trained and equipped to fight wars.
Hey, Mike, I'll be up there, buddy.
Hey, don't move.
Why don't they leave rules alone? I guess they're on a move of their own.
Criminal trial. No one wins and no one loses.
Well, it happened, yeah, in the morning. What in the world could I do? Baby's crying. What a strike. I'm sure that you would go.
Knocked your door down, knocked your fence down, came in, would you not shoot them?
They came 1,100 strong. They didn't have to hurt no one. Once again with the shackles and chains.
It is wonderful that our legal system will spend all of this time and energy deciding the guilt or innocence of people who are so out of tune with the rest of our society. I think that's a great credit to the American system.
When it was over, yeah, tear gas clearing, they didn't feel their fight was won. So cops on horseback beat the neighbors randomly, trying to undo what was done. Somebody tell me about it.
Don't kill my family! Don't kill my family! Don't kill my family! You broke down our house! You broke in our house!
Why don't they leave move alone? I guess they're on a move of their own.
Somebody, why look at the person that's being murdered?
Rizzo is saying the MOVE organization has the right to die. We don't have the right to live. We're telling Rizzo.
Actually, the confrontation began 3 years ago, but we won't go back that far. The evacuations took place last night. People were asked to leave their homes surrounding the MOVE compound by 10 last night, Larry. At 5:30 this morning, warrants were to be served on the MOVE members. 20 minutes later, gunfire erupted.
Hold
on, a special unit of police positioned themselves to serve warrants on MOVE members. But just 20 minutes later, about 5:50 this morning, the shooting started. You hear the fire, Steve? I mean, they're really going at it now. It's automatic weapons. At this point, the people are starting to scatter at this side. I don't think that we are in any real danger on our side, but there's no way of telling at this point. People are starting to panic. They're starting to run. A policeman taking an armed position. The sporadic fire lasted for about an hour and 20 minutes. However, when the first official word came down, there were still no reports of injury.
Some of these homes would start burning.
You're telling me that the homes on the other side of Osage Avenue may be on fire?
That's correct. There's white smoke coming from several roofs of the homes on the other side of Osage.
Any efforts to contain those small blazes before they get out of control?
No, most of the water is being aimed at the homes on the MOVE side.
Okay, and how many fire trucks are there in the area that you can see right now? Of course, you can't see 62nd Street. We understand that.
Right, like, I cannot see any fire trucks at all. All I can see are the water shooting up at the flames.
I've just been advised that we have new videotape of the episode that apparently ended, we think ended, the move situation tonight, the dropping of an incendiary device. And let's take a careful look at this. 5:27 p.m., state police helicopter drops it. There is the explosion. As you can see, a very dramatic explosion that occurs 30 seconds and really rips into the move compound. There you see the bunker, which soon will go up in flames. And that was the explosion close up. Now, if there's anybody there, standing there, it's obvious they couldn't survive that explosion. Miles Moore, he's live in the newsroom right now. Bill?
Well, Larry, the first sign of an adult member of MOVE came tonight after police removed Ramona Africa from the house on Osage Street. She was taken to Misericordia Hospital in West Philadelphia, where she refused treatment for a second-degree burn. Then police took her to police headquarters, where homicide detectives are questioning her right now. Ramona Africa was one of four people named today in an arrest warrant charging them with terroristic threats, possessing an explosive, criminal conspiracy, riot, disorderly conduct, plus harassment. Police say they expect to arraign Ramona Africa on those charges sometime tonight, and we'll have an update later on in the newscast with Lori Yevchensky, who's down in the roundhouse, to give us the latest on that.
Did you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
Even superheroes gotta be healthy. Get the Sister Girl Workout Book, a graphic novel available this Black History Month at the DuSable Museum Trading Post gift shop located at 56 and Cottage Grove in Chicago.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com. 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com. 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Manford Police Department, lines being recorded.
Now let's put it all in perspective before the outrage burns out misdirected. What can we do so our community protected? I believe that should be our main objective. While we full of rage and we want to make a difference, let's do more than protest. Let's make a commitment to be proactive, not just emotional reacting. Move like G, never passive. Organize state teams, martial arts classes. Get to the gun range and make your aim active. Self-defense is a must by any tactic. Security protocol, make it a daily practice. They say I look suspicious, I get it all the time. Pro-black face panic when they drop dimes. Follow me, get on your jack, tell them to come get me. You better get your gun, you be the judge, jury. We gotta make better war moves. Police the pig, polish our own tools. Fight back, become a force to be reckoned. Let them feel the consequence, pulling that weapon. They do what they wanna do, who they think they can. In a stand, it's no respect for the black man. What's the solution? The ballot or the bullet, G? Give me that pistol, that vote never give us. I tell the young people, go ahead, protest. Petition, picket sign, citizens arrest. Just know we get war, so get your game face on. Hoodie on, I bomb first, but straight on.
I'm tired of the marching, the rallying, and the protesting. We hooping and hollering, still we getting no justice. To Daniel Diallo, Bell, Grant, and Trayvon. It's a free mix on your radio station. Turn it up so you can drown out all the media hype. We plot, planning, and strategizing, ready to fight. The government ain't gonna stop it as long as they make a profit off our criminalization. Our people gonna be target. Justin sipping window Allen, who gon' be next? Fuck the target, get some power, then we get some respect. When I die, don't put me on a shirt, my nigga. Be a revolutionary, make them hurt, my nigga. That's a quote from New York Money, that's my RBD family. Sick man, Mike Flow, most justice insanity. Cause we do the same thing, expecting different results. I'm checking the vital signs, but I ain't getting no post.
Please, a view from a true D perspective. These mic machines to pose all oppression. Say your point in here to uphold justice. But it get denied, yo, they cheat and they lie, folks. Hate views, fake moves, and wild hostile. Young black world in the struggle for survival. Great stress and effect, disrespect, disconnect. Dirt and wise, these kiddos and nice teeth. Gunshots and blood that break the night breeze. And several points, judge, it might be Nazi. Insecurity, identity doubt. You think that they see a neighbor, they see a villain is out. The standard answer, it was random police movement and conclusive confusion. The present news clips got his bullshit. Every talking head is clueless. Many subtle channels stupid. Sick in the town, we know it's been that. It's time to fix that for every place we live at. Put in work where we are to change the whack track. They make you holler in the hour where they say that. They shooting, made you die. I act as if the murder innocence is not crime. Killers on the run, watch them and your time's up. Mr. Murderer, where you hiding at? They shooting, made you die. I act as if the murder innocence is not crime. Killers on the run, watch them and your time's up. I hope you hear this, right where you hiding at. Trayvon,
who are you?
Trayvon, Trayvon,
who are you?
Human beings in a mind.
celebratory atmosphere would change quickly. Who watching the game with me? You know, Lil Trayvon was repping his hometown, D-Wade and LeBron. He had just came up from Miami to see his daddy, who knew such a great weekend would end badly. In a place where you move because it's safe for your family, but some people got an ingrown hate for your family. Halftime, just a short break from the slamming. About to go to the store, Lil Cuz, you want some candy? Bet I'll grab you some Skittles, kid. I'll be right back in a little bit. I said I'll grab you some Skittles, kid. I'll probably be right back in a little bit. Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer? Who don't believe in anything? We make it out alive. Cousin Skittles and an iced tea. Walked out the store and felt the chill of the night breeze. It seemed a little colder than before. He didn't know it was a boy like a soldier in a war that was watching him, clocking him, thinking about stopping him. 9 milli cocking him. Who's this nigga walking through my neighborhood? He fits all the specifics of criminal statistics. He looks suspicious. 911 was your emergency. A black man walking through my hood perfectly. Stay calm, it's a slow Trayvon, but he wanna be the hero, so he put his cape on. George Zimmerman, neighborhood block captain, loaded clocks wrapped in, fake cop happened. Got out the car, knowing what the cops asked him. They always get away this time, that will not happen.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer? Who don't believe in anything? We make it out alive.
Didn't take his Ritalin, drunk off adrenaline, says he's making the citizens arrest. Trayvon looks at him vexed. I just walked to the store, nothing more, nothing less. Just steps from his home, he ignores his request. George grabs him, Trayvon swings and connects. Starts screaming out for help, but Zimmerman sees a threat. So he pulls out his gun and he points it at his chest. He fires, but he misses. Trayvon pleads for forgiveness. I didn't do nothing, this is senseless. But George Zimmerman was so vicious, he made sure the second shot hit him. No survivor, no witness. Trayvon never gave his cousins the Skittles. Mr. All-Star game, didn't see another dribble. And George Zimmerman wasn't even arrested. The message is only white life is protected in America.
Three, four, seven, eight, three, nine, eight, two, five. We were doing a special on the move situation. Now, I was playing part one, what happened off in the early 80s during the Jimmy Carter administration, you know, with Rizzo. And it's funny, you had Ed Rendell, Mr. Democrat, Mr. I'm Loving Black America, and you saw how his role was in that move situation. I thought I had enough time to play what happened in 85 when they dropped bombs on the other part of the complex, and I will probably have that on next week. Let me get to my caller because he called back in. I'm glad he called in. What's going on there, Sean? How you doing?
Oh, sir. I thought that was 1985 what he was playing.
Oh, no. That was the first set. That was the 70s, because on this one, they went to jail. This is the first set when they had a trial in 1980. That was leading up to the trial of May 9th, 1980, where three of them was convicted of first-degree murder for the police officer. I ain't got to the bombing yet. I was going to lead up to that. I was trying to do a history on the whole civilization.
It started in the
1970s.
Okay.
Started back in 72 when that man became mayor, and they started protesting. People like Jesse Jackson, Jane Fonda, everybody, it was disrupting stuff. So when the police chief became mayor, he decided to crack down on them, and that was like the early 70s. And so I ended it in 1980 when they got arrested. So I was going to play 5 years later. They came and dropped the bomb on them, you know, so I'm going to have that next week.
You know,
I'm not trying to start anarchy here. I'll just go into a little history of forgotten black history, you know, in Philadelphia. City of Brotherly Love, and people forget about the Move situation. Somebody sent me some information on Questlove, and he's doing a little documentary on it, so I decided to share it with my people also. But, yeah, what do you think about what you heard?
On the Move program, I think, you know, that was like internet nature stuff, man. It was killed for that. You know, that type of thinking was shut down in society. You ain't supporting the grocery stores. You ain't going to the hospitals. You know, society is shut down. And it's a shame that they had to kill those people, man. It's a shame. And it just show you today, if we wasn't even trying to practice something like natural living, the government would be after us. If it become widespread, natural living, oh, the government will make war against us. That just lets you know. I mean, it may sound crazy, but look what happened to them. They got bombed.
I don't think it was a natural living per se. I think it was just them being antisocial. You see, you're coming at that time of that Nixon, COINTELPRO, that Black Death situation. It was volatile.
Well, they was talking about back to Africa. Anything you say back to Africa, that means natural living. That means we ain't out politicking. We ain't out supporting. So, no, they got bombed for that, man.
But, no, they wasn't back. They took on the name Africa to be like associated with the movement. But the deal with them, which I'm trying to get in depth because I'm not a aficionado on the Move industry. But
I'm just going on what I read.
But from the documentary I was giving off of, they were just irritant to the status quo, given they protesters and they standing in meetings and marches. I think there's really more political, and they did partake in it. But the mayor, I guess, want to be tough on crime, choose to front them out. And then, you know, it goes all the way up to the Justice Board, you know, Jimmy Carter at that time, because he get investigated all the police brutality and everything that was trying to take place on there. But then you move to the 80s when the mayor dropped bombs on him and killing 15, and six of them being children. And so I ain't got to that part. I'll play a little history of that, but I am going to get that tomorrow. But per se, the government, because that would never happen again, because black people are not militant and proactive in thinking like they were back in that early 70 days or the mid-80s. There ain't no more black radical groups like the Move. I don't think there was a threatening like we're going to kill police or kill Whitey. I think the Move industry was just a situation where a police chief, you know, a racist police chief, a prejudiced police chief, got power, became mayor, and took a vendetta out on the John Africa. I don't know too much about John Africa and his movement. I'm going to look it up and see what it was about, if they have any literature on it. But it was a travesty of what was going on, even during that little segment I was playing in the 70s when they tore down the house and raided it, and how the police officers were going house to house looking for the people. But, you know, that was the 70s, and you got to realize that was like 10 years after the death of King, so tensions were really heightened at that time. You know, you got to also put the time in context, you know, but that's like 10 years after King assassination, so everything was almost still on 10. He's already zooted up, you know.
I know it gets me upset to hear that. It gets me, you know, angry. Even had to read the stuff, you know, to even know that went on. Because it just lets me know, wow, you feel helpless. Just listening to it makes you feel helpless.
Well, no, how about the ignorant part of
and
me?
And I feel helpless now.
But how about
if
the ignorant
part of us? Nothing happens. I mean, 2 people got killed in Cleveland some months ago. 100 shots by police officers. 100 shots. No policeman was convicted. That the 2 black persons was unarmed. It was shot over 100 times, man. No police was convicted. None. The city just said, "Oh, we made mistakes. We're gonna learn how to improve our response to this situation." That's it. I feel helpless now.
Well,
yeah.
It's not. Yeah, but you like I said, you gotta put in context the time period that did take place in the situation. Now, how alarming is this? If you ask anybody your age, because it took place in the 70s, even 85, if they knew anything about the move, the bombing in Philadelphia, they probably not even have anything to say about it. I mean, you probably in high school when that happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't really care back then. I probably heard, didn't even care.
understand.
That just go the way, you know, we was raised as black folks here, man.
By you not even caring. That was just that moment in history is not even relevant to you right now.
I'm gonna tell you, I was raised as Christianity, and we was taught, you know, don't be getting, you know.
Happy New Year, Rosh Hashanah to you. But the point I was saying is that should have done was most people in that generation felt that way, and that's why once you bring up information, like, you think it only took place in 85 because of the lack of knowledge of the information. So you really got to look back at black people don't take advantage, look at their history that they make or their past history. You look at black history, you probably go to slavery and then Martin Luther King. They stopped
but what
the steps
in
the movement
history.
That they went through.
I mean, we ain't learned that we can't trust that cracker yet. We can't trust the word from him.
Well, you can't trust, given.
I mean, what has history shown us? We cannot trust that. That's all it is. We cannot trust
like,
period.
That's
going to be your token black Republican liberals and say otherwise. Go ahead.
I'm going to say Eldridge Cleaver said, you know, Eldridge Cleaver, Black Panther is, it's like this. You say you can't trust the white man, but it's the black man, the white man sitting there to destabilize you. Look at COINTELPRO. Look at the black desk. Look at all the infiltration. It's the white man coming up in here, you know, picking you up.
Look at him invading the country and then saying you wrong and getting upset. He invaded, he occupied, he kidnapped, and he occupied. But then we wrong for even having an opinion. Is that what you're saying? They kidnapped us, Jimmy. Anything from that, they wrong. So go ahead.
Yeah. Then are you speaking of America or a person in particular?
I'm talking about what have we learned from history dealing with crackers. You can't trust them, period.
I mean, what civilization? Western, Eastern?
I'm talking about since we've been dealing with them. Their whole history, even back to ancient Rome, they invaded Egypt. You can't trust, everywhere they go, they invade, man. Nobody wants them. No one goes into Europe and kidnaps them. They went out of Europe and invaded every country. They have a history. You can't trust them, period.
Well, I will go over some legends of history, how people say that they was roped up in Europe. That's how they get to the world. Listen, I don't know if you can't trust anybody because trust is you know, blacks and still. We blacks...
They have no conscience, man. They have no conscience.
Who sold us to slavery? Who put us in slavery?
Who kidnapped us?
Tribes. Some African tribe went to war with the tribes.
That token black talking again. There you go.
No, I'm being real. I mean, one tribe looked at the opportunity. Getting weapons and getting the upper hand on another tribe and made a deal with the white man.
Well, who told him to do it?
No, that greedy African was.
Who told? They just went and go kidnap. We just gonna go kidnap some people. No,
greedy African made a deal like you gonna give
it.
Me these. I'm gonna take these guns and go hit that tribe where I can't stand, and I'm gonna bring all them prisoners to you because I can't stand them anyway.
Well, who came in and tempted them to do that? Who came in, Jimmy? See, it's always somebody trying to step up and stand up for them when you know they're wrong, point blank, period.
It's the love of power. Let me give you an example. Like, I'm watching this. It happened. You know, probably apples and oranges. I'm watching this movie called A Tai Chi Hero. But he's a little Tai Chi, little Mandarin folklore.
Yeah, I understand. Go ahead. I watched the movie. Yeah, go ahead.
It's about the British coming in at the time, but... The British can come in there and bring the railroads or those iron things in. With some power hungry, I want more power than you to overtake my war on tribes. And you can look at all the way. It's never the outside invader. It's always that person who never stands strong with the whole home. It's always one Negro, one Asian, one anybody that don't stand group with the whole overall. You can watch any one of those Asian movies where they say, don't let no foreigners in. Somebody let them in. Don't let them in. Somebody lets them in. Hey, man, is that a time? It's somebody who has a love.
That's a sellout. That's a straight sellout. And when I was in the court, you know what they said when you do the sellouts?
No.
Okay. Well, it ain't good. Put it like that. It ain't good.
Because in the words of Dick Gregory, you can't join all groups because some of them groups was formed just to get all people riled up to go run up the wall. You know,
you're doggone right, and that's true. That's true. But you can't be a sellout neither. You can see the history of it. You can see the history of going what's happening with us.
Listen, in the eyes of the African chief or that Chinese warlord or that Korean queen, in the eyes of them, one person, Voma sellout is another person for idea of bringing in technology and power to my people and show them that look what I can give you and keep your loyalty. One person Voma sellout is another kingdom form of power and authority. It all depends on the victim would say you sold me out. The victim would say I defeated you. I mean, it all depends on that person's point of view, given how history is. Oh, I'm just saying. People act like the white man went in and took over Africa and that was it. They went over and took everything out of Africa.
He went in there doing the same thing. I'm your friend. And learn all about you, find out your weaknesses, your weak points, because he's a strategist. And he came in and conquered. That's how he did it. Did it to the Aztecs, did it to everybody.
So basically,
that's how he did it.
Because he's smarter than you, then. Basically, that's why he can do it, right? Because he's more wise and cunning and smarter than you. Because he's more smarter than your race, right?
No, he was raised like that. He's weak. A weak person, listen, a weak person carries a gun. A weak person will hide a knife. A weak person, he's weak.
How can a weak person defeat a strong person? Then you must be weaker than the weakest person. Then,
He definitely had help.
That means you gotta be weaker than the weakest person. If the weakest person is controlling you, then how strong are you?
But you know they had help. So,
They had help. The help was that other person's thirst for power, and
that's
right. Successful. It ain't no help. It's that I want to be the man.
That's right, and that's what will call us to fall, when you always got somebody who wants power.
I want to be the queen. I want to bring electricity to my city. I want to be the great thing. I want to bring a railroad. I want to bring the iron horse. I want to bring the go boom. I want to have the great power. And like I say again, this is my formula of sellout, real talk. You know, a sellout to me is somebody black coming into the black organization to stabilize it or spy on it and just make sure that organizations don't get out. And whatever they do on positive community, their point is to come destructive. To me, it's a sellout. If somebody goes up there, you vote and elect somebody and they go out some other way, you can easily take that guy out by not voting for that person. But now, if somebody say, hey, the gang bangers with the dope dealers. I mean, shit, everybody back in the 80s said we ain't grow no cocaine, we ain't grow no shit, we ain't got no fucking plane yet. But yet, we get that shit in, we give it out, we know the effects of the shit like that. I mean, are we selling out? None. One person form a sellout, another person think I'm getting paid.
Check this out. This is how the Vietnamese dealt with their so-called sellouts who helped Americans, right, during the Vietnam War. They call it political re-education of the sellouts. You know what they did? They put a bullet in their head. That's what
you get.
But
then again,
that's how the Vietnamese did it, and you see America end up leaving. That's how you re-educate. That's how they call that re-education of the sellout in Vietnam. So.
Given the history of the black man,
that means don't take the material gain that don't take the material that the devil is offering you. Don't take the material that America has offered. Don't take the material gain that somebody is offering you. That's what it's saying.
That's different. Your philosophy is different from a foreigner.
No, I'm just telling you what the Vietnamese did. I ain't telling you.
Let's go out. The niggas did it. Niggas told on Harriet Tubman. That's why she said, shoot them cats free, get the fuck out the road. Niggas been selling niggas out ever since the day when we got over here.
Frederick Douglass was a big sellout. You know what that dude did? After
what?
The slaves was free, this nigga gonna be like, stay next to master, stay in the South, work with the white man. Niggas was like, hell no, Frederick Douglass. They going out west and forming their own town. This we got bombed like Rosewood. But they was like, Frederick Douglass was a big sellout. That's maybe why they got him up there like, y'all should be like him. Frederick Douglass was a big sellout. Read the whole thing.
Let me get it straight.
He wanted the blacks after slavery to stay in the South with the white folks and work with them. He wanted them slaves, former slaves. Why not? No, they wanted to leave and form their own, start their own cities. And that's what they did. They moved out west and started their stuff.
Okay, let me get this straight. After civil rights, didn't all our black governors and congressmen and senators come from the South?
What you say?
After civil war, did all our black congressmen and governors?
They're representing England's law. They weren't representing black people. They weren't representing black people in African laws. They weren't representing that. They was representing the crackers laws.
Well, you want to say that, you can say that and stand on that, but looking for Frederick Douglass' eyes.
I'm right.
Believe in Frederick Douglass' eyes, my friend. He's saying, now we have the authority and power. Let's see if we can govern it correctly. Because we're not savages like the enemy.
Frederick Douglass is like, hey,
we're not savages
like
the enemy.
Don't be mad that y'all were slaves. Stay down there and work with them.
No, because we're not savages. We're not savages.
Stay and work with the slave masters.
The fear of a black man in power.
You are definitely a Republican. You are definitely that token Republican. Stay with the slave master.
You are so 20th century, homie. We're 15 years in 21st century.
We what?
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever sat on the back of a bus?
Yup.
Yeah, I figured. And have you ever drunk from the only water fountain?
What'd you say?
Have you ever
drunk
the fountain? Uh-uh. Okay. Have you ever held your head down from a white man and walk across your face?
Would I let that happen? Hell no. Did you have the Malcolm X ever sit there and let that happen? Hell no. Did any of the black panel let that sit there happen? Hell no. But I'm just like, if you see that movie, what that just came out, Homeboy was a good civil rights guy.
Malcolm X on TV say Black Nation Islam ain't nothing. I saw him sell Elijah Muhammad out.
You see what happened to him, didn't you? Are we talking about
niggas holding heads down or niggas selling out? Are we talking about the life you live now or in the 21st century or the life of the
1800s? What I'm saying is we docile. Listening to what you played tonight made me just feel helpless and docile. Like, man, sitting up here trying to smile in their face and be their friend.
What you're saying is this. That hatred is the only way that black people gain power, is to be
I didn't say hatred. I just say separate. Let me explain something, Jimmy. Even in history, you can't mix the races.
Your
Bible, the Tower of Babel was destroyed because they mixed the races. You can't do that, dude.
Back in 1787, April 12th, that America formed the Free African Society, homie. Do you know we was already separate? Do you know back in 1787 that there was a thing called a Black America from the Free African Society that was put together
it was already free. It was already free blacks up north. What you talking about? You talking about this Dred Scott case?
No, I'm not going to address Scott's son.
It was already British in the British. The British was occupying North America. What you talking about? And then the treaties. Look up international treaties of 1600 when the Native Americans attacked and killed damn near everybody in North Carolina. Come on, 1681 when they was invading, when they were still hitting the black Native Americans here. What you talking about?
Bravo.
1600s.
But what does that got to do with the Free African Society of 1787?
I don't know. I don't know nothing about the Free African Society, because I know it was blacks already here. Eli Whitney, Christmas Addicts, and all that. What you talking about? It was free people before that.
We both agree that all blacks were not enslaved, correct?
You doggone right, because they was already here.
We both agree that most of America's wealth and agriculture was in the South. We do agree to that, don't you?
Wait a minute. Yeah, well, when the cracker came,
No.
What,
most
no,
of
no,
America's
no, no,
wealth.
No, 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 what? You give me, you give me cracker history. You give me some real history because I know you don't know none. Give me, you give me that European. What history?
No, what I'm saying is
go ahead,
this.
Keep giving it to me.
Saying is this. You just going on, hey, let's go philosophy.
I'm going common sense.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
Let's go on common sense. We both agree that back in, let's say, 1887, the South had more wealth and agricultural land than the North.
Okay, go ahead.
Can we agree to that?
You know what? I can't say that because the blacks moved out west and did well. They built up their own cities. I don't know what if it was so better.
Hey, what was King in America?
How was they able to go out there? So
okay,
I can always contradict that. Go ahead. What?
No good. What's King in America? If cotton was king in America, if cotton was king, and the peanut was king, and the corn was king, and our crop was king, was fed the whole America. Everyone knows the South was the dominant culture, period. That's why they were to succeed, because they felt they had most of the money. They could take the brick of America because all the wealth and all that laid down there. So if you're looking at Frederick Douglass' point of view, hey, the wealth is right here. Let's stay here and maintain this wealth so we can be prosperous. You see, it's all about prosperity. You can't never look at
things. Yeah, but they prospered better when they had their own towns, and that's a proven fact. That's why they got bombed.
So listen to
Frederick Douglass would have had us just like we is right now. Nowhere.
No. Not listening to Frederick Douglass is why we're in the position we are in right now.
No, listening to Frederick Douglass is why we're in the position we is right now, because we didn't separate. We didn't separate and be our own. We needed to be up under them. That's why we're in the position we is right now. No way.
How could you fact that? When China
wanted they got every European out of the country. When they wanted to dominate,
We went to Liberia.
Well, let's go with Marcus Garvey. So you can't touch the black stuff. You'll give me all that. You'll give me that what they want you. My heroes don't appear on no stamp. My heroes don't appear on no stamp. You giving me stamp people. Give me some
okay, Toussaint Louverture. Overture. You know that guy?
I heard your name.
Yeah, Haiti. Haiti was free for the Civil War. We went to Haiti. We could have been to Liberia. I mean, that was made for America. We didn't want to go home, and that's why you're here. The opportunities, baby. The opportunities were there. We chose to stay.
No. When we did try to gather and leave, they knew about it. They burnt the ship so we couldn't leave. They destroyed a whole fleet.
Freedom.
I got to reread it. It was a back to Africa. But
you wanted
we
to go.
That.
After freedom. After freedom.
Now it's set up to where you have so much debt and whatever. Let me explain it. Wesley Snipes had how many millions of dollars? They make it so, dude, you going to stay here.
Texas.
Even if you think you can get money and get away, no, they'll find a way to get you back.
Listen, in the quotes of the great Sire, you give Caesar what is Caesar, you get the Most High what is his, homie. Pay your taxes. And on that note, happy Rosh Hashanah, everybody. Good night, and may your God be with you, everybody.
All right.
Pay your taxes, Sean. Pay your taxes.